Today we welcome to the program the Reverend Dr. Colleen Durr, President of Eastern Nazarene College here in Quincy, to talk about the past and the future for this historic institution. So, Doctor, first of all, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a little bittersweet, though, unfortunately, right, as we're here to talk about the sale of Eastern Nazarene College, the eventual closure of the campus.
Absolutely. Yes. Very bittersweet. Yes.
Can you maybe talk to us a little bit about how we got to this point at ENC, the circumstances leading up to the college's closure after over 100 years, the sale of the property, and what the future holds?
Yes, of course. So the school elected me president in March of 2023, and I began July 1, 2023. And through the process of with the search committee, they were very honest and open about the challenges the school had been facing over the years, amplified, of course, by COVID, as it did for everyone in every institution that was struggling going into COVID, and the challenges that I'd be facing stepping into the presidency. And I quickly discovered, once the boots on the ground, so to speak, that the challenges were even more significant than the board realized. And so it was really months of trying to gather the data and get the information about where is the college actually at, right? Where is it standing? Its fiscal health. What do we know about its fiscal health? And it became increasingly clear that there were multiple fronts of challenge. Years of student enrollment decline and inability to balance the budget. There were a couple of years with COVID relief funds that kind of gave a false impression to returning fiscal stability. But the reality was that growing costs, the cost of doing business in the higher ed sector, is significant. There are minimum services that you have to provide when you have traditional residential students that require really a certain level of enrollment population, because as we know, the cost of higher ed is significant anyway, and we just cannot continue to pass on to students those increasing costs to do business, cost of living in the South Shore area, cost onto students. And so colleges have to really invest in multiple revenue streams and this significant intentionality in growing student populations. And ENC had some success in growing other revenue streams, revenue resources, but the student population continued to decline to the point that it just wasn't feasible for the student population that ENC could continue to recruit to support the financial needs of the institution. It sounds almost crass and oversimplified, but not enough students and not enough resources to continue. It became very, very clear. And increasingly clear through the spring, we had a huge push of fundraising opportunity and brought in expertise, a huge push to broaden the student portfolio to include non-traditional online students. And we knew we had a very limited window that we had to get that up and running. And we put everything we had at it. I'm going to be honest. We redirected as many resources people gave sacrificially in order to try that in the short window of time we had. And by early June, it became clear that that was just not going to take off in the time frame we needed it to. And so by the end of June, the board faced the incredible painful decision that this beautiful 124-year institution in Quincy since 1919 just no longer could move forward and adequately serve the students that were attempting to enroll and wanting to come there to study. And so in late June, the board took the vote authorizing me to move towards closure. And so that is what we have been doing. They did take a vote of dissolution in late August. And then we have spent the year first making sure all of the students were settled. What students can we help to completion? Who are the students that we can't help to completion? And where can we help them land successfully? We had four incredible teach out partners and many, many more unofficial teach out partners. And so the hard work of getting our students settled and the amazing team of Eastern Nazarene College that has loved on students and served them very well for so many years, now love on them and serve them well in helping them find a new place to study to finish their academic career. And then of course the processing of employees, the having to limit employees and going through the WARN notice process wave after wave. Until the end of December, we saw the faculty transition, the majority of faculty transition, and greatly downsizing of employment force by the end of the year. And then this new, just as of last week, the news about having a buyer for the property and a signed purchase and sale agreement. So it has been an incredible journey in relatively short period of time.
Yeah. To give us some perspective, can you maybe just briefly talk about when ENC, when is it's in its heyday, you know, when things were thriving, the student body compared to what happened, you know, leading to the decision to close, the numbers actually, if you could.
Yes. So there were the eras in the 80s and then in the 90s, early 2000s, when they were doing very successfully non-traditional education and had a thriving. And those of you in Quincy would know the old Colony building that's now owned by an after-school program in the city. But a vibrant building with this huge program for adult and graduate studies happening down there behind the junior high, in that property. And those in that era, the school had 14 to 1600 students.
Okay.
And 500, 600, 700 studying on campus at that time. And we had shrunk to a student population of around 400.
Wow. Okay.
And so, yes, so significant declines in enrollment. And, you know, all the statistics say, the data, before COVID, the data said that colleges needed a minimum of 1,000 students in order to adequately meet, as I was saying earlier, all those functions were required to provide, right? And appropriately so, required to provide. Post-COVID, that number has now moved closer to 2,000, and schools are really being encouraged that without 2,000, it's hard, fiscally difficult, and the absolute need then for other revenue streams. And so that number was just not feasible for ENC to continue. And as we saw what the projections were for our traditional fall enrollment, and we saw the much slower rate than we needed for the online and non-traditional enrollment growth, we realized that we just could not manage the finances moving forward. And our students deserved us to not run into bankruptcy and have to close overnight. And I will say that was the one thing that the board was so compelled about, because we know we have heard the stories. We've all heard the stories of schools who, you know, on a Friday at 5 o'clock, the board takes a vote and the doors are locked and they're done. And we were determined that that would not be the ENC story, that the legacy mattered too much, that we wanted to honor our students and employees and in as best way we could. And so we said, that's not going to be our story. We're going to acknowledge our reality in a time frame so that we don't have to close overnight, so that we can help students transition, that we can set up the legacy to continue in the form of, you know, 60 years worth of applicant students and transcripts that will now be cared for by another institution and all of the students who were able to transfer.
Yeah, do you know?
So, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so that was, we wanted that to be the continuing legacy and the story on how we ended.
Sure.
Owning our own closing process, yeah. Right, was the goal.
So were those students that transferred, did they stay within the Nazarene system, or did they go to other institutions, or was it a mix of both?
It was a mix, which okay. was beautiful, right? And ENC was made up, and it absolutely beautifully reflects the makeup of the ENC student population, which mm-hmm. is one of the things I so loved about it, this beautiful diversity of students from all different faith walks and from literally all around the world. We had last year students, faculty, and staff over 40 different countries of the world represented.
Wow.
That's beautiful, right? And so some students went back to their original country to study. Other students were NCAA D3 athletes and entered the portal, right? And those are the moments you love the portal in NCAA. And so they were able to find new places. In some instances, almost entire teams were able to transfer and be able to stay together. And then several of our sister Nazarene institutions from other states were also able to serve primarily our Nazarene student population.
Sure.
And help them. But Quincy College, local there, absorbed quite a few students. Hmm. And of course, Worcester State was a teach out mm-hmm. partner, and Gordon. Mm-hmm. Gordon took a significant number of students, and serving students who wanted to continue in a faith-based mm-hmm. experience, but wanted to stay in Massachusetts.
Yes.
And
yep.
that was a significant number of students
sure,
that
sure.
they were able to come along and serve.
So as I understand it, then there are 78 students remaining that are finishing out their graduation to this May.
So, yes. So when we started the school year in September, which, of course, looked incredibly different than it had ever before, but we had 78 students that our registrar and our chief academic officer and deans identified as, we believe we can help these students successfully get across the line and they don't have to transfer. And all of the undergraduate students, we chose a pathway and worked with them so that they could complete in December. Mm-hmm. And I'm thrilled to say that all but two did, and those two are taking a class and doing what we call reverse transfer. And so they'll send it back to us and they'll be able to be conferred in May.
Oh, okay.
And then a significant portion of graduate students were also able to successfully finish in December. We had a graduation then. But we have 14 graduate students who are doing their final coursework, who will graduate in May, and then those two undergrad that will transfer back in and complete. So we're down to 16 students, but it's so exciting to see the ones who they worked so hard to be able to graduate from Eastern. The faculty came around them, obviously incredible adjustments the faculty had to make to their teaching approach and to accommodate the students.
Yeah, yeah. So that leads us to I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say the interesting story is we had one traditional undergrad residential student in the fall. And somebody said, somebody ought to write a story about that one student's experience. And so that was our final residential student, and no more students, obviously, on campus at this point.
Leading us to the sale, right? To a 2006
yes.
Alum, Graham Crane, has purchased the whole campus?
He has purchased everything, all of ENC properties. And for those familiar with ENC, we still own 162 Old Colony, which is where Campus Kinder House, the ENC business, which is a preschool, is housed. So he bought that building and the business. And then he bought the campus and all of the surrounding houses that ENC also owns. So he purchased all of the properties and the Campus Kinder House business.
Okay.
One buyer for all of it. Yes.
How did that connection happen, Doctor? Talk a little bit about how that developed.
Yes, since Graham is an alum, some of the first audiences when we did our communication rollout plan after the vote and the decision in late June, he received one of those early communications about the campus, and he had been a student athlete, a baseball player. And so he reached out to his connection within the ENC athletic department and said, so what do you plan to do with the campus? And that began the conversation. He's a developer. Mm-hmm. He actually is in Kansas. That began the process of him saying, I might be interested, and began what ended up being a 7-month conversation that resulted in the purchase and sale agreements.
I see. And according to the plans released so far anyway, he's anticipating some new residential development, but also says preserving the historic nature of the campus. So what does that mean? Do you know?
Yes, it was really important for the Board of Trustees and the administrative leadership that a couple of things made Graham as the buyer, potential buyer, compared to others, stand out for us. One was his desire to leave enough of the campus intact so that alumni could drive down East Elm, mm-hmm. and be able to still see something of what had been Eastern Nazarene College. And so to provide them with that nostalgia, if you will. Yeah. We all know, all of us who attended a traditional campus in our undergraduate years, know the connection, right? The emotional and relational connections we have to those places and spaces. And so he wanted to preserve that, wanted to preserve the green space between the Wollaston Church of the Nazarene, which owns its own property, right, at the corner there, and the campus administration building. The iconic administration building that so many high school students come and get their prom pictures taken on the steps, right? he wanted to preserve that look. And then the library. He hopes to preserve several other buildings as well.
Okay.
As of course he gets into the work of figuring out what can he do, what can be repurposed, and what else can he do with the property. But that was really significant to us, and that he had that desire to preserve that the pieces of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect was, ENC has had this beautiful relationship with Wollaston Church of the Nazarene for all of these years, located on the property, and a real partnership together. And so they had access to the school's parking lot and that front green space when for events. And so we wanted a buyer who would be friendly to the church and honoring some of those relationships, pre-existing relationships that already existed.
I have to ask, what was the purchase price for the property, Doctor?
The purchase price I am not allowed to reveal.
Oh, okay.
That's confidential.
Okay.
Yes.
It'll be public going forward, I'm sure. What is the process now?
The process now, and so it was two segments, right? My husband, it keeps walking back and forth in front of my camera. I apologize. The purchase and sale agreement was divided into two portions. One portion was for the campus kinder house business, mm-hmm. and the building 162 Old Colony in which it's housed. And that closing will happen, expected to happen by March 12th. And so Graham has the intent, and again, as a really significant positive in him as the buyer, to continue Campus Kinder House. And it has served Quincy so well for decades, and wanted to make sure that continued, and it will continue with the same director and employee base that has been in existence. And so that purchase and sale agreement will be finalized and moved to closure mid-March.
Okay.
And then the rest of the campus, all the other properties of the campus, will be in the coming months. There's a window dependent on all the work that he needs to do in order to close up the purchase and the things necessary to move towards closing. And so sometime this summer, early fall, we anticipate closing on the rest of the property to occur.
So will Camp Kinderhouse remain in the same location? It will.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. That's why it was critical to sell the business and that building together.
I see.
Yes.
And will there be kind of a formal closing ceremony, if you will, or you know, a final day of the school?
So there will be, interestingly enough, this has been a learning process for me, but there will actually be multiple closings.
Okay.
And so May 31 is the day that we surrender our accreditation. And so that's the day we cease to be a degree granting institution, mm-hmm. which we all think of as a college, right? And so that's May 31st. So in one aspect, that'll be a closing. Then there will be the closing on the physical property that, as I said, will probably happen sometime through summer, potentially late fall. And then there will be the closing of the legal entity that is Eastern Nazarene College. And we're told by our incredible attorney team that that will most likely be late 2025, potentially even 2026, until all of the legal things that have to fall into place can occur.
Sure. And do you know, will Mr. Crane be hosting any community events here in Quincy to talk about the future of the property?
Yes, my understanding is, and he has already, as far as I know, has already begun working with city leaders to make sure that those relationships are really well formed and that the city is connected and aware of what his intent is and listening to what are the needs needs of the city. Having lived on the campus for a number of years and having friends in the area, he's aware, but he wants to make sure he hears from the city and the city leaders. Yes.
Do you know, were all of the faculty and staff also able to transfer to other institutions and find other jobs?
So that has been the process of our HR director and the department really working with them. Massachusetts has all the resources of the state to come alongside, and we held sessions on, you know, resume building and getting them signed up for unemployment and helping connect to other job opportunities in this state.
Sure.
The other colleges in the region were incredible about sending us. These are all our job openings. Do you have an enrollment specialist? Do you have a psychology professor? So it has been wonderful, those kinds of conversations, and to hear the stories of where people are settling. And I have to tell you, some of my, as someone who's a little older, some of the most exciting moments have been our young employees, employees who graduated from ENC and stayed with us and moved into employment roles, to hear of some of the incredible professional roles that they've been able to get and making these significant vocational shifts for them. That has been just such a blessing and a highlight to cheer them on as they move forward in their careers as well. Yes.
Leads me to ask, Doctor, what does the future hold for you personally?
Yes. You know, it took me a long time to be able to think about the future, because in June, May 31 felt like a long way off. Mm-hmm. And May 31 is also my end date with Eastern Nazarene. They don't need a president after you no longer have accreditation. And but I announced within the last 2 weeks that I will be taking a position as executive vice president at a sister institution in Ohio.
Oh,
and it actually ended up being the school we've worked very, very closely with that the Massachusetts Department of Higher Ed identified as our custodial partner. I've been working tightly with their registrar and their IR and their IT and all of their people. So I've had opportunity to get to know them and their system very well, and we'll be making that transition to them this summer.
Oh, congratulations on that. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Is
Thank
there
you.
Anything else you'd like to share with the folks here in Quincy about ENC right now?
I would just like to thank Quincy. It has been the home of ENC since 1919. Coming from the Midwest to the Quincy area, my husband and I loved living in the community. I shared with Mayor Koch that it really was a delight for us and an incredible experience to live there. And the way the city embraced ENC all these years, welcomed our students, the neighbors surrounding it really became part of the ENC community in a very profound way. And so I would just like to say to Quincy, thank you for being the home of Eastern Nazarene College for all these many, many years, and for loving our students and welcoming them and caring for all of us so well. And we hope that what comes next will be a blessing to Quincy. That was our goal, and we've been clear to Graham and Crane, and he as well wants to continue to serve Quincy. And so that's our hope and prayer, that this next, what is next on that property will become an even greater blessing to the community than what ENC has been.
Well, really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about this, and I want to wish you the very best in the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.